Matthew chapter 17. And let's go to verse 17. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is our bread from heaven. It is what causes us to live by that word, how important it is. And Father, I thank you that you have delivered to us an understanding of the growth, spiritual growth that takes place within the inside and manifests itself out on the branch. Father, I thank you that you made it clear that you can determine where a person's at by the fruit that they bring or they bear. And so the things that we're going to be dealing with this morning, Father, I hope that will help your people to understand how important the Word of God is and how important it is to be a doer of that Word. And so I ask that you anoint everybody to hear today, Father, and anoint me to speak it with clarity in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 17, let's go to verse... Did I say Matthew 17? Yeah. Let's go to verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. I hope he wasn't speaking to his disciples there. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately. That would be a good thing to do. And said, why could we not cast him out? And so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Actually, he actually says this in the original text. It is the little faith of you. It is the little faith of you. And he says, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Now, however, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting, actually is in really no Greek text, so you can just scratch that verse away if you want to. I know the Bible says don't remove anything, but when the translators put it in there, get rid of it. Praise God. But notice, I want you to get a hold of this. He says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. And this is actually I was going to Rhema at this time, and I was hearing it off of some mini books that Kenneth Hagin printed years ago before I even went to Rhema. And I understood that of what Kenneth Hagin was saying about mountain moving faith. But when I got to the school and actually was sitting in his class, somehow during the process of time, I found myself saying, a mustard seed will remove a mountain. And finally, one of my dear friends close to me said, where did you get that? And I said, well, why? What's wrong with that? And he says, well, in my Bible, it doesn't say that a mustard seed moves the mountains. And I said, well, I read it. I'm pretty sure I read it in the Bible. It says, and he says, no, he says, you go back there and reread that again. And so I went back, and when I reread it, I was shocked because what I was getting here, he says, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will move this, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there. Now, the mountain, Jesus wasn't actually referring to a literal mountain, but what he was referring to was something that seems immovable in your life. And now we've been talking about the tests and trials that come with life, and we're going into 2019 now. Praise God. What happened to 2018? I went to bed last night, 2018, and woke up this morning, 2019. But anyway, we talked about how people try to deal with present situations in their life through natural means. And that won't do it. Now, I found something out that's unique about faith. People who seem to think they have a lot of faith, really, they don't realize if they would stop and listen to what comes out of their mouth, they would find that they don't have much faith at all. Because I've had people do that to me. Say they got all this big faith and everything, and then they'll make statements that just doesn't line up with understanding the message of faith. Of one of them is, you don't tell a mountain to move with a mustard seed faith. Jesus actually said, it is your little faith. And the reason that verse is not put in there is, you don't get rid of, you don't expel demons, and you don't get results just because you're doing a lot of prayer and fasting. You're getting results because something is developing in you called faith. And people don't understand that when you're facing the tests and trials of life, there is what we call a law of faith that functions in our life. And I've had some people say that I've got a lot of faith. And I knew they did not have the faith that they were believing God for. I knew it. And so I would counteract and try to convince them that where they were at in the natural, put your faith there and start there, because you still have a lot of growing to do. Now I want to tell you something. You got to be careful of spiritual pride entering in. Because spiritual pride will cause you to enter into an area you think you're in faith, and you'll find that you're not in faith, but you don't know it. Everybody else can tell it but you. And I'm going to tell you something right now. God will work with where you're at. But the key thing to all of us, especially we're in difficult situations and times in our life, we need to realize very clearly, where am I at in my faith? What am I doing to develop my faith? What am I doing it so that I would be strong in faith? Because I found out mustard seed faith is little faith. It is little faith. And did you know that every time that there was a situation or circumstance that happened in their life, even with Jesus present and the disciples present, and they faced a situation in their life, Jesus always turned around and rebuked them because they had little faith. And Jesus had to take over where their faith was not there. Little faith won't get you anywhere. You got to develop it. But what do I do in the meantime if I have little faith? There's where it comes in, to where you have the body of Christ to join in with you and to believe with you. Are you following me? That's where we rely on one another. We don't have the spiritual pride about it. Some people, just because something happens in their life, they go back to God and say, what am I doing wrong? Well, where were you at? You were living in an unfallen world? Things happen here. They got bumper stickers they put on your car. Blank happens. Blip happens. You know, just because you're living in this world doesn't mean just because you're a believer. Some Christians seem to think that they're a Christian. Now God's going to do evil in their life to get them to motivate and do something for somebody else, to let them know how God delivered them. That's pride. I'm going to tell you, when things happen in your life, it happened because it happens here. We're in the fallen world. You're not exempt for anything that could come down the pike. I don't care how spiritual you are. But I'll tell you what does make the difference. How much faith do you really have to believe in the situation that you're in? That's what counts. That's what counts. Now, with that in mind, go over to 1 Peter. You know, one of the hardest things for me to acknowledge, one time I was in a situation, and one of the hardest things for me to acknowledge, I mean it was a very trying time in my life.
And I'll never forget when I got on that hospital lawn. And my son Tim was in that tremendous accident. And I started praying. I said, God, just give me a scripture. Because I don't know whether I can have the faith to handle this. And I want to be in faith to handle it. And he gave me a scripture and said, perfect love casts out all fear. And man, that just so charged me up. And then God spoke to me and says, you have the faith to believe for this. And this is how you activate it. And he showed me how to activate my faith in this situation. And every step that we went through that hospital with my son, the doctors always came out, I don't believe it. They told me, well, your son's going to be in the operating room for quite a while because we don't know how much damage was done to his brain. There's a lot of fragments, skull fragments that went into his brain. And so we're going to probably be in there for quite a while because we have to analyze what parts of the brain were damaged and what parts weren't, because he was on a tricycle or whatever it was, that thing that, remember that, Tim? You and Mikey got on, I gave you a big lecture, you and your son big lecture not to get on that machine, and you got on it and went anyway. But anyway, so they took him into the operating room, and he came out 30 minutes later. We're going to be there a long time. Doctor come up and he says, well, you people are the luckiest people on planet Earth. Why? He says, well, when we got in there, we noticed that the bone fragments that we pulled out didn't even touch his brain. He's got a little quarter hole there, but it has to heal up over time. He says, but I'll let you have a little more insight of what's going on here. But right now, you got a miracle on your hands. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I didn't brag to them. I wasn't going to prophesy to them, oh, God did this and that. I just let the guy know that we believe that God would be with us in the situation. And he says, really? And I said, yeah. He says, okay. Well, he was preparing me for what he had to say up ahead. So we're in the hospital, and I come in, and Tim's there, and he's got this patch over him and everything. And the doctor said, well, we're sure glad that everything worked out. We just got to make sure there's no infection that gets in there. And he says, there won't be any. And so then the doctors looked at me and said, well, we do have some more information we need to give you. His nerves were cut and severed, so he's going to have a droopy eyelid for the rest of his life. And I said, thank you for that information. And he goes, oh, okay. And I says, it gives us something to pray about. And he goes, well, yeah, you can do that. So we prayed. And when the doctors came and took the bandages off later and inspect everything, they were amazed that his eyelid was working perfectly. He had all his nerves put back. Sitting right over there with both eyes open. So we thank the Lord for that. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It challenged me where I was at in my faith. And so Dave Roberson called me and he says, how's little Bootler doing? He called him little Bootler. And I says, he's doing great, Dave. And he says, you want to know what the Lord told me when I went to praying about your son? And I said, what did he tell you? He says, you pray for Jen to muster up the faith to believe for everything in this situation. And that's what I did. And I didn't even know somebody was praying for me on that basis. But I said all to say this, that no matter what situation you get in life, we talked about the different ways that we handle situations, and they just don't work because they repeat themselves. But there's something about growing in your faith that will cause you to face the same pattern of conflict in this fallen world, but you're going to be a different person the next time around because you'll have more faith to meet it. And that's the key, is to grow in your faith. Because listen, people, we live in this fallen world, and the devil don't go away just because we get one victory. Matter of fact, when you get one victory, you're more prone to another hit. But you have to do something about developing your faith. You see, people got this concept that when I need faith, I'll call on God for it. Do you know it's not God's responsibility for you to grow in faith? That is your business. That is not God's. And somehow we've been led to believe that if we have enough faith, we can get God to move on our behalf. Listen, God did everything that was possibly conceivable for you by moving on your behalf before you even faced the problem. It's the thing that you got to get is into that place where you're now lining up with God in a relationship with Him. You're coming into an alignment with Him so that your faith can work for you, whatever level you're on. Now, there are some people believe just because you turn to a doctor, you're not in faith. That is a bunch of baloney, sold out of the pit of hell. If it wasn't for doctors, many of us would probably be dead right now. But I got news for you. One thing that really grates me is when people in my body get sick and they go home to be with the Lord prematurely, and then they quit coming to the church, they lay someplace on a bed and they're not doing what I ask them to do. That bothers me because, listen, people, I'm going to tell you what. We don't overcome this world by our own natural means. We come up, overcome this world by our faith that grows in us. That's important to us. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's go there. And let's go to verse 8. And in verse 8 of 1 Peter 5, it says, be sober, be vigilant. You know what the word sober literally is referring to? In this term, in this vernacular, the word sober means be in self-control of yourself. Be in self-control. Now, people use the message of faith to bail themselves out of something they behave themselves into. That's craziness. I let faith build in me. And how do I let it build in me? I let it build in me through the wisdom of God, illuminating Himself in me so that when I do face another thing, I won't be going to God, what's happening to me? That's the most dumbest thing anybody can ever. What happened to you? Why did this happen? I told God I'd never go to Him why anything had happened. I'd go to God and say this, God, where did I miss it? Where did I miss it? With You. Not, why did this happen? And then have the enemy come around and say, well, the Lord wants you to go over here and do this and go over here and do this and show this. And, well, God's using evil, huh? To promote you to go do something you could do on your own, preach to somebody or whatever. That's nothing but a bunch of spiritual pride. Be sober. Be in self-control. Be vigilant, watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Did you see? Did you get that? Peter was telling us something. Be sober. Be vigilant. You know, we walk around on this planet Earth just like, well, I'm a Christian and I'm okay. I'm covered. Why? I pray a lot. You pray a lot, yeah, and you know, and God's got a special hand on me, and then when poop hits the fan, where did that come from? I'm going to tell you something. The devil knows how much faith you walk in. He knows how much faith you walk in. But the one thing is, he don't know how it grows in you like you do. But the only thing is, he can read you. He can read your mail. And if he finds out
that he can devour you, he'll do it. Because why would he put this verse in, seeking whom he may devour? That means there are some he can't. Yeah. You ever thought about that? Seeking whom he can? Whom he can devour? I like this. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And he said brotherhood that is in the world. That means other believers can be suffering because the devil knows he can devour them. I don't want to be that candidate. Somebody told me, he says, well, if you don't have enough faith, what should I do? And I said, that's a time to start activating your faith within your own heart. That's a time to do it. Well, how do I do that? Start reading the word and reading it out loud. Start, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Did you know it's good to read your Bible and say it with your mouth because your natural ear will hear it with your mouth? Get in your Bible and start preaching the things that are powerful. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, gosh, you've got so many great results with people. And he says, yeah, because they weren't church people. He said they had not been taught against the power. He said they were all unsaved people. He says, but you got to deal with saved people. And especially with saved people that talk against the faith message. He says, you're not going to get the same results because they're hearing the wrong words. They're hearing the wrong things. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. And if it ain't by the word of God, it'll affect you. I'm going to tell you something. If sickness hits you, one thing you got to do, you got to get alone and you got to let the word of God come out of your mouth. You got to look at scriptures. You got to confess them. You got to get into whatever it is you get into to build your faith in that area and shut yourself in someplace until you overcome that thing within yourself. And then you can step out and say, I got the victory here. Last night we heard this windstorm coming in. Sue knows my weakness with them trees because we've had two of them come down on my house. And I wasn't at home and I wasn't praying on the windstorm. So two trees snuck up on our house. And so God said, get away from that forecast and get into tongues. And he says, and I'll give my angels charge over your trees. And he says, you ain't going to suffer nothing. And so, and of course, my brain is going, wee, 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 60 miles an hour, wee. So I got into my bedroom, and I just started praying in the Holy Ghost. And I started confessing, and there ain't no plague. And I started preaching the 91st Psalm and everything. And I said, I'm just going to go in there and be with my wife and just believe that God's going to cover us. I woke up this morning, and I looked in my backyard. I found a few little branches. And I looked in my front yard, a few little branches. And I said, oh no, the tarp's over my outdoor lawn equipment. It's probably blowing off. And I ran outside and they were all covered as if they were never touched. And I looked around and there was no trees or branches. And people, we live where there's a lot of trees. There should have been some branches that come down. And God said, the angels are tired of holding them trees steady for you. Just my imagination, but I got to think, boy, that's God for you, you know. He knows how to get you into a place where you use scripture against the devil can do. And it says right here in 1 Peter, it says, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. So the Lord was trying to tell me, get into a place of faith and you'll counteract that thing. People, it works. It works. Hallelujah. Now, with that thought in mind, the same Peter wrote 2 Peter, chapter 1. And he tells us something. What does he tell us? Well, he said
The devil goes about seeking whom he may devour. But I got news for you. Peter also said, this is how you increase your faith so that you won't be devourable. And he said that's found in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. So I went to 2 Peter chapter 1 and I looked at that and I looked at it and it tells me the ingredients to do something about my faith. What I got to do about my faith. I'm going to tell you something. One thing the devil will sell you is a bit of good. Oh, you don't need to get that excited about faith. You don't need to get into all that radical stuff. People don't understand you. If they come to church and all you do is preach on faith, they're not even going to want to be here. You know, that's a pit, lie right out of pit of hell. God wants you to go where faith is being preached. Because he wants you to have faith. I don't find any scripture where it says he don't want you to have faith. So, I started reading 2 Peter chapter 1, and when I started reading this, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This word life here is talking about natural things in this world, and godliness is talking about a godly devotedness. That you can maintain towards God. A godly devotedness. Now watch this. Through the knowledge. And this is a Greek word, epinos. It means a higher, a full understanding of knowledge. He says, who called us by glory. Notice this, by glory and virtue. You know, God called you to glory and virtue. You know what that is? That's strength. Glory to God. By which, he tells us how this glory and virtue is, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption, the depravity that is in this world through wrong desires. Right. Now watch this. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was even purged from his old nature. Now, he gives us some key things to understand how to get us to develop faith. And guess what? No one can develop your faith but you. You're the only dude. I can preach the most fantastic sermon on planet Earth. I can expound all things in complete details to you, and we could get into a boat together and get halfway across the lake, and a big storm would come, and you'd all, we're going to drown. Now watch this. He says, first of all, being diligent. You know what diligent means? It means a zeal. Have a fire about you. Urgency. Speed. Be quick about something. Hasten. Press. Endeavor. A readiness. Pay attention. You're not distracted. Working hard. Not negligent. Eagerness, faithfully committed to pursue continually. Boy, that's diligence.
Well, I did not feel like going to church today. Well, I had it too far away. God knows my heart. I'm just sitting at home.
Real diligence.
You have no idea what I'm going through, Lord. I have a family here, and I'm sick and I'm tired and you can forgive me this Sunday.
Well, let's believe that you'll have another Sunday coming. He says virtue. You know what virtue is? Moral excellence. Moral excellence. Godly in action. Superior, being pleasing to God. It means a throwing oneself beyond what's expected. It means a strength in his character. That, you see, people don't realize virtue is character development. You've got to learn to develop character in you. Moral excellence. You know what? If a leader over you falls to sin, he's not the guy to go to for moral excellence. Why? He got something going on up here that don't belong. Moral excellence comes with control of the mind. Now, people are telling you that your natural mind is renewable. It's not. It has to be purged. It has to be dominated by your spiritual mind. But if your spiritual mind is not developed, then your natural mind will take over. Someone told me, I forgot who it was, somebody in the church said, "You mean I have two minds? I'm having a problem with one." I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But you only have one soul, but you have what you call your central mind, which is your natural mind, but you have your spiritual mind. And they're both housed in that one soul. So you have to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth to find out what mind it's developed in. All right, the next is knowledge. It means a deeper understanding. You see, you can go so long on natural understanding, but eventually you have to get to a higher place in your understanding with the Word of God. If it was just dependent upon natural knowledge, we'd all be okay. No. We would be in a strait. We have to have a higher understanding, a deeper knowledge, how to function, adding to my faith. Adding to your faith requires a deeper understanding of the knowledge of God's Word. Then, self-control. It means to say no to things that want to take you out of discipline patterns that destroys God's ability to preserve you from wrong desires. It keeps everything in its right perspective and priorities. You know where we fail the most? Is in association with people. If you can't discern where people are at, you are more vulnerable to problems than anything else because you could hook up with the wrong person. There are some people we just don't need to keep company with until we have prayed a change in them or we have developed a strength in us so that we can connect with them. Is this making sense to you? Some people say, "I just have a marriage problem." No, you got a spiritual problem. Quit blaming it on marital problems. It's spiritual problems. If you can't discern things by your spirit, then how in the heck are you going to heal anything in the natural? Do you know holiness begins to work itself on the inside and it shows its fruits on the outside? If you're a holy person, then you'll do holiness. If you're a righteous person, you'll be righteous. So self-control is a very important thing. Perseverance. Boy, I can't do justice on perseverance. It says, actually, perseverance is endurance, patience, the ability to remain until your purpose in God comes to pass. The ability to complete the promises given us. To persist in something in spite of persecution, opposition, or discouragement. To adhere steadfastly. You'll find this in Mark 3:9, Acts 8:13 and 10:7, and Romans 13:6. To be devoted, to be committed, to be consistent. Now, notice what he says. He says, if these things are not in you to develop your faith, here's what happens. Number one, he says you're barren. What does he mean by that? He says you never feel useless. You no self-esteem, no influence, a feeling of nothing accomplished. If these things are not in you, that's what the barren means. It means that's the way you start feeling. I'm going to tell you something, people. How many of you had faith victories in your life? Can I see your hands? Isn't it good when you have a faith victory? Come on, people. Say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What happens when you get one and you don't have victory?
Oh, we won't talk about that.
Unfruitful. You'll never be unfruitful. You'll bear much fruit. John 15, 1 through 5. See, if these things be in you, you'll bear much fruit. You'll bear much fruit. Notice it's short-sighted. No good judgment, no discernment. You can't see things to come. But if these things are in you, you will see them coming before they're there. You'll know how to handle them. Come on, people. I'm preaching real good, ain't I? I meant this is how to make your faith grow. I like this last one. You'll never stumble. You know what that means? Being easily offended. 1 John 2:10. You'll have none occasion of stumbling in you. You won't stumble. Do you know what happened?
I don't care.
No, you got to care. You got to have heads up on this.
Well, okay, give me the heads up. And so they give you the heads up and you say, I still don't care.
Why? Because I'm serving a kingdom that can't be shook. Amen. If I'm going to walk on this planet, I better have faith. And I have faith for you. Or I wouldn't be pastoring you. I have faith for you. But I got news for you. I won't have faith for you if I don't put the right thing in you. Because I have to give an account for what I put into your soul. And I'm telling you, people, poop happens. And you need to be prepared to wipe it. I'm telling you. The enemy goes about seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't give you breaks. The devil has never went up to somebody, you won the lotto today. I'm bypassing you. We've got to know what it means, what the devil is capable of doing in our life. We've got to develop our faith. Little faith ain't going to help you. If that was the case, then we wouldn't have to have intercession. Intercessors. Because intercessors stand in the gap to pray for you. Where you don't have the faith to overcome something, God will lay it on somebody's heart for you to pray for them so that you'll overcome that. That's what God's always for your good, people. He always thinks good thoughts towards you. He always wants you to succeed. The problem is, he's got to get the succeeder to succeed. You demand. Boy, I got to be careful because sometimes I can have an attitude with stupidity. And I got into a situation recently. Boy, Father, I'm just tired. The mouth, what comes out of the mouth. And God said, quit coming to me about that. Why? The mouth. Why don't you pray for that person rather than the mouth of them? Oh, yeah, okay. He says, no, you always walk in love and you pray for people. You believe for them. Where they're lacking, you believe for them. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6, that last chapter at verse 10, it says, and for the rest of you, why do you think Paul worded it that way? He turned, you know, we take Ephesians 6 and we say that belongs to all believers in the body of Christ. Well, it does, really. But really, what Paul was teaching there in Ephesians 6, he was turning not to the general body, but he was turning to those who knew how to supplicate for the body. And he says, this is what you need to do. You need to take the whole armor of God and put it on you so that you can stand on behalf of them. Because at the end, he says, praying for all saints. He was given instructions for believers who know how to do warfare, for other believers. Yeah, that's in the Bible. I decided to chase the devil down the dark alley with a toothpick. So I took out after him. I came running out of that alley. He says, don't you bring your toothpick to me when I can take a club to you. Matter of fact, the translators didn't get the fullness of that chapter there in Ephesians 6. The fullness of it is incredible. He says here, wherefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And according to the Greek, it means having brought everything to an ultimate conclusion of victory, remain standing in it. And when I got to thinking, oh, wow, what is he saying? He was saying, and for the rest of you, this is what you need to do for the body, because the book of Ephesians is progressive. He says, and this is what you need to do for those whose house is being destroyed, whose arrows the enemy is putting in their body. I'll never forget that lady coming into my office, sat down. And she said, I don't understand. I've done everything I know to stand. And when I looked at her, I saw arrows sticking out all over her. And I said, well, if you've done everything there was to stand, why are you like a pincushion? She didn't have a shield of faith. And the enemy was dogging her. And of course, I found out about her background. She didn't belong to any particular body. She just loved the Lord, which she said with all of her heart. It was her natural heart. It wasn't a godly heart. And so I had to minister to her how she needs to grow in the things of God so that she can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one and not get stuck with his fiery darts. Flaming missiles, what they called them. And they're designed to destroy everything around you. They're not designed to shoot you personally. They're designed to shoot everything around you personally. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God is no respecter of persons. If faith will work for me, it'll work for you. You know, some of you here, you're going to face tests and trials 2019. You need to get on your knees and start praying and saying, God, show me where I'm at in my faith so I can begin to develop it. That is the first place of your success. Be real with yourself. Be sober. Come to realize, where am I really at? And I'm going to tell you something. If you're full of lethargicness or complacency, you're easily offended and all that, you're a candidate for victory. Did you know that? You're a candidate for victory. You know, people look at themselves and begin to condemn themselves. That's not where you find. It's coming to the realization of where you are at and saying, now I'm going to do something about me. I'm going to do something about me. Mark 4. What's the first thing he said? Oh, they received the word with gladness. But after a while, affliction and persecution came. And the seed had no root in them. But they received the word. They heard it. But the seed that they heard didn't have any root in them. They weren't watering it. They weren't doing something with it. Because why? They didn't do anything to their ground. They didn't remove the hard places. And they didn't do something about removing the tares and the weeds and stuff. They didn't do something about themselves. They just heard the word and received it. That word received there is lambano. It means they went to a place by accident and the word fell on them and they liked what they heard. Oh, that's a good message. But when affliction and persecution comes your way, you're going to find out what you're really made of.
Is the enemy able to undo you? I don't know. Because that word limbano means it fell on, they like what they heard. But when the affliction and persecution, right, the devil must have known something about him. Why? Well, then the word tells us how he got to him. Cares and anxieties and everything else came in. But they on the good ground received the word. That word receive is the word paradekama. They went and heard the word of God on purpose. They went to a specific place to hear a specific word to put it right alongside themselves and conform to it so that they can what? Begin to bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. You know what? When faith develops in you, it takes care of the out you. When faith begins to work in you, it takes care of the out you. Isn't that good? I can trust the word, not because Jan said it, because the Bible says it. Amen. Now, there are some people that believe that their pastor can solve all their problems when they have them. Have you found that out, Ted, by now? Don't you, Pastor? Yeah. Have you found out that there are people who think that you can stand in the place of Jesus? No, people, you have to develop your faith. You have to. Besides, you wear me out. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. For the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-mouth sword. It brings a dividing. It divides what's of this natural world compared to what's of the spirit world. And Father, we want to develop our faith. We want to grow in it. And Father, we can come into agreement with those here. But Father, it's still up to them to make their mind up to develop their faith. And one way you can begin to develop your faith is praying in tongues. Now, I know there's a lot of doctrine against tongues, people, but that's not biblically based. None of it. It's just junk just put in there by the modern church, not even found in your Bible. But praying in tongues has done more to keep me alive with God than anything else. People, I'm on fire for God. Somebody said, you know, revival's coming. It's already in me. I don't have to wait for it to come. Why? Because God ain't going to bring it. I got to go to God to get it. Glory to God. I'm on fire for God. I'm on fire for God. Why? Because He's in my life. Why? He's in me. I like it. He's in me. Christ in you is the hope of the glory. I ain't nobody special. I'm just Jan Butler that got a hold of Jesus, and I'm on fire for Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Stand up, everybody. Preach it in you, I'll preach it out of you.
Glory. Glory, glory, glory. We got some good teachers. We got some people in that Sunday school class could teach me a lesson. I sit there and I just want to listen to them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I like what I hear. Hallelujah. Praise God. I sit there this morning and I was listening to everybody, what everybody had to say. I said, glory to God, if I had any part in this, Father, I'm so happy. I'm so happy for everybody here. I'm sitting there saying, glory to God. She hadn't been around us that long. And she just sat there preaching away. And I think, yes. Someone else in revival. You in revival, Wanda? Or are you revived? Yeah, I'm revived. Father, I thank you for the word. Thank you for these wonderful people. And as we get ready to close, Father, if there be anybody here that doesn't know you as their Savior, oh, Father, we just encourage them to reach out to you and give their heart to you. Father, you can do wonderful things with their heart, Father. And if there's anybody here that's never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly language, Father, you want them to have it. You want every single believer to have it. Father, if they don't have it, may they come forward and we'll just lay hands on them. And Father, you can fill them, hallelujah, with the Holy Ghost. That's that fire from heaven to keep them ablaze, hallelujah. And Father, we'll just pray for those that would like a fresh touch from heaven. Hallelujah. Of encouragement to them. A witness to them that you're with them. You're committed to them. And you love them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. People, I'm feeling in my spirit right now a real urgency. You get a hold of this message and develop your faith, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Now, I don't understand the fullness of it, but you need to take serious developing your faith. I'm going to tell you something. I don't like burying people in my body. Seeing them going home before their time, and see the testimony that was not good. When a situation comes into your life, that's when you need to draw close to the body. That's when you need everyone to assist you and help you and pray with you. I don't want to be caught. I don't want to be found caught. If I'd have been in faith like where I should have been, this would not have happened. No, we want to always be ready, instant in season and out of season with our faith. We want to be ready when something happens. Thank God I'm there. I'm ready. Salvation. The Holy Spirit. Healing. Come on up here right now. Anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God you're not going to get it from me. You're going to get it from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we need to be careful how we hear. Did you know that? You need to be careful how you hear. Because that measure that you measure with, that you hear with, that will be the measure of your faith. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm going to do a teaching on how to hear the Word of God and how to listen to a speaker. And sometimes my mind used to take off right when somebody's preaching and God said, that ain't the Holy Ghost. That's just your head cutting in on somebody that's giving you a message from me. I've learned how to take control of my natural mind. He's very uncourteous. He's very disrespectful and rude. Your natural mind is. It don't have a desire to listen to God. It has a desire to feed its own thing. Its own thing. It does. People go around saying you renew your natural mind. That's a bunch of bunk. It's your spiritual mind that's renewed. Into the right thinking. Praise God. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. And may they have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget the men's breakfast on Saturday morning. God bless you guys.